Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Windy City Queercast, show number 573. I'm the very happy Amy Matheny because finally we put together a few days of some sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Oh, really excited. Yeah, folks, I mean, it might be teasing us that it's about to be summer. I know it hasn't quite, well, we had one of those almost 80 days, last week, and there's some sunshine. So I am grateful, grateful, grateful. And I'm also grateful because my lovely Mitchell Fain is less than a week away from coming back home. That's right, folks. He's days. Did I say days? I miss him. What am I going to do if Mitchell ever didn't live in my house? I don't know what I would do. At some point in the year, he has to live in my house. I miss him. I'm so excited to have him back and hear about his exploits and share them with you. Actually, I'm going to let him share them with you. Mitchell Fain will be on the next couple of shows, I'm sure, because we can't possibly put his months and months of extreme gay living on the high seas packed into one show. It would be such a mega show, it would explode. Kind of like my tooth that abscessed last week. Ooh, weird segue. I know, but I'm having dental issues and I just want some sympathy. But anyhow, this is what happens when we age, folks. We just start putting things back together weekly, monthly, yearly. But I'm so excited to have Mitchell back. So our mega show will probably be at least two mega shows where we kind of catch up and then we dish on topics of the day. So Mitchell Fain, right in time for all the big end of May festivities with Memorial Day and IML, International Mr. Leather. And, you know, folks, just two more weeks to see my show, Cicada. And it would mean the world to me if you live in Chicago and you listen to the podcast, if you could come, because I promise you, you will not be sorry. I promise you will be moved. I promise you will laugh and cry and think it's better than Cats. I know I set the bar really low, but I promise you, you'll really, really like it. You really, really will. So Mitchell Fain coming up on the Queercast. He's back. And today on the show, I'm really, I'm excited, you know, to talk about what it would mean to buy a home as an LGBT person. Now we're going to be talking in general. So don't worry if you don't live in Chicago, we're not even going to talk probably neighborhoods in the city or anything like that. But for those of you in Chicago, we'll talk a little bit about Chicago, but mostly just what does it mean to buy a home today? What kind of market are we in? What are the things you should think about? First home, second home, buying or selling, you know, and as gay and lesbian people, bisexual, transgender people, Are there unique things we need to think about? I mean, some states we have marriage equality now, and so that may have some ease and complications. And in other states, we can't. And so how do we just make sure we do it the best way and take care of ourselves in the process? Because it's a big purchase or it's a big sale. So sale. Did I say that like a southerner? Sale. So I am going to be here with Todd Swakowski from Dreamtown Realty to tell me a little bit about his perspective, his experience over a decade plus of work in the LGBT community right here in Chicago. So super, super cool. And yeah, and then what's going on in the LGBT news and theater besides Cicada, which I hope you will come see. You have until May 25th. Put it on the books like IML one night, Cicada the next night. That's what I'm saying. You go to the Leather Market or Bear Pride and then come see me in a play. These are not even subliminal messages. They're just direct messages. Mitchell Fain will be coming to see Cicada. So come see Mitchell Fain and me sit in the audience with Mitchell watching me in Cicada. And then, you know, go plant some tulips or bulbs for next year. Anyhow, Todd Swakowski on the Queercast with me. And we'll be back after this.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. United States Representative Ileana Ros-Lehtinen, the Republican from Florida, an original co-sponsor of ENDA in the United States House, said through a spokesperson that she would not sign a discharge petition to force House leadership to move the bill to the floor. Ros-Lehtinen's refusal to sign a discharge petition for ENDA means that the potential procedural move is almost certainly doomed, as a discharge petition requires 218 signatures to move a bill forward, the same number of votes required to pass a bill in the House.
A federal court has reserved judgment after hearing oral arguments May 2nd in a lawsuit seeking to overturn Indiana's ban on same-sex marriage. U.S. District Judge Richard Young said he would deliberate and rule at a later date on whether to expand an earlier decision that cleared the way for two young women to become the first legally married same-sex couple in the Hoosier state. Young granted a temporary restraining order against Indiana's ban last month, compelling the state to recognize the lesbian couple's union. They were the only couple affected by the judge's order, which expired May 8th.
Bishop Gene Robinson, whose 2003 election as the first openly gay Episcopal bishop rocked Anglican Communion, has announced his divorce from his longtime partner and husband. Robinson, who retired in 2013 as the Bishop of New Hampshire, and his partner of 25 years, Mark Andrew, were married in a private civil union in 2008.
The U.S. Department of Education issued guidance clarifying that Title IX, the federal law that prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex in schools that receive federal funding, prohibits discrimination against transgender students.
A lesbian couple from South Dakota married in Minneapolis before returning home to file a lawsuit challenging their home state's ban on same-sex marriage and recognition of lawful same-sex unions performed elsewhere. Minneapolis Mayor Betsy Hodges officiated the marriage between Rapid City, South Dakota resident Nancy Robron, 68, and Jenny Rosenkranz, 72. Upon returning home, the pair joined two other South Dakota couples. Together, they filed a federal class action civil rights lawsuit.
The plaintiffs, challenging the Florida's refusal to permit same-sex couples to marry, asked a state court to rule that the state's ban on marriage equality is unconstitutional. In their motion, the six couples argue that Florida's ban on marriage equality violates the equal protection and due process clauses of the U.S. Constitution. The couples are from Miami and the surrounding area. Four of the couples are raising children, and another couple has an adult child and two grandchildren.
A Ugandan gay rights activist will seek asylum in the United States to escape a harsh anti-LGBT law in his home country. 3 days after John Wambere came to the U.S. for a speaking tour, Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni signed the Anti-Homosexuality Act. Under this strict law, Wambere could face life imprisonment for being openly gay or for advocating for gay rights. Wambere, 41, said it is heartbreaking he will have to leave his home as well as his 16-year-old daughter, but added it is too dangerous to return.
The Latter-day Saints Church has been surveying Mormon millennials, those born between 1980 and 2000, on their attitudes about marriage and same-sex attraction, without ever mentioning the words homosexual, gay, bisexual, or transgender. The survey was emailed to students at Brigham Young and a young single adult Mormon congregation in Utah. A question about how respondents identified their sexual orientation originally had the answers: A, I am heterosexual but struggle with same-sex attraction. B, I am heterosexual and do not struggle with same-sex attraction. And C, other, please specify. The survey now asks, do you experience same-sex attraction, with the choices being yes, no, or other?
In world news, Secretary of State John Kerry briefly touched upon LGBT rights during a speech he gave in the Ethiopian capital. Kerry also noted during the speech that he co-wrote a measure in the United States Senate to combat AIDS in Africa during the 1990s that later became the foundation for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief.
Saying the time has come, Uruguayan actor-model Federico Diaz, who has been reported to have been involved with Ricky Martin, has come out publicly on Twitter. Neither Diaz nor Martin has confirmed a romance. Martin recently split from longtime love Carlos Gonzalez Abiala.
In Northern Ireland, the Assembly has rejected a proposal to extend marriage rights to same-sex couples. Members of the Assembly voted 51 to 43 against the Sinn Féin motion, the third time the matter has been brought to a vote. The Democratic Unionists tabled a contentious voting mechanism ahead of the debate, meaning the motion could only pass if a majority of both Unionists and Nationalists supported it.
UK Prime Minister David Cameron is opposed to giving straight couples the same equal rights as gays have when it comes to legal unions. The Conservative leader will reportedly veto proposals to give straight couples the right to enter into civil partnerships. It is alleged he believes civil partnerships for straight couples would undermine the sanctity of marriage and possibly alienate traditional Tory voters.
Sir Richard Branson, the founder and CEO of the Virgin Group, a billion-dollar multinational conglomerate, said that he and his company would boycott hotels owned by the Sultan of Brunei due to the country's anti-gay laws. The tiny Southeast Asian nation has adopted a form of Islamic Sharia criminal law that includes harsh penalties such as amputation for theft and death by stoning for same-sex sexual activity.
One of Australia's most recognizable news broadcasters has died of cancer just months after coming out as gay. Ian Ross, 73, went public about his long-term relationship with Gray Bolt in January and credited the support of Bolt, his ex-wife, and three children for his positive attitude throughout his illness. Ross's career spanned five decades, with 38 years at Channel 9 working on the Channel 9 News and the Today Show.
In entertainment news, MTV and Logo TV are partnering with actress Laverne Cox for a forthcoming documentary, Trans Teen, the documentary, that will air simultaneously on MTV and Logo in the fall. This one-hour documentary will take viewers inside the lives of four trans youth, ranging in age from 14 to 24 and hailing from diverse neighborhoods across the country. Each of the four cast members reveals his or her private journey.
Singer Gloria Estefan will have her own Broadway show. Get On Your Feet will chronicle the star's rise to fame and her recovery from a 1990 bus crash. It'll also feature many hits by Estefan, both as a solo artist and with the Miami Sound Machine. The show will be paired with an upcoming reality show to help find a starlet for the show.
Gay billionaire mogul David Geffen is interested in buying the Los Angeles Clippers. He mentioned his interest on the heels of current owner Donald Sterling's lifetime ban from the NBA for racist remarks. Geffen made a bid for the Clippers several years ago.
Dustin's Lance Black and Olympic diving champion Tom Daley are moving in together. Black has moved from L.A. to London in order to live with the athlete in his apartment overlooking Olympic Park. The couple made their first red carpet appearance together last week at Battersea Power Station's annual party.
The award-winning lesbian web series Easy Abby is releasing the season one finale free on YouTube this week. The finale, entitled Chicago Freefall, includes both episodes 13 and 14 and will roll out on the Juicy Planet YouTube channel and on the show's website, easyabby.com. The first 12 episodes of Wendy Jo Carlton's series have received more than 15 million views.
Lady Gaga makes a cameo appearance in the new music video for Neon Tree's song First Things First. The song is off the band's new album, Pop Psychology. The group, led by openly gay lead singer Tyler Glenn, relives its personal history through a lot of old photos.
Orange is the New Black will return for a third season. The unofficially official word comes a month before season 2 premieres on Netflix on June 6th, with all 13 episodes available at launch.
And he's married. Nate Berkus tied the knot with fiancé Jeremiah Brent May 3rd in an intimate ceremony in New York City. Berkus, 42, and Brent got engaged after dating for nearly 9 months. The interior designer popped the question during a trip to Peru. They both reside in New York City and Los Angeles.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, this is Colton Ford, and you're being turned on by the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club, Culture Club, Culture Club. Theater,
music,
dance,
art,
performance,
provocative,
hilarious,
exciting,
queer,
innovative,
campy,
edgy,
original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of May 12th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Tennessee Williams came to New Orleans in 1938 to start his career as a writer and his life as a gay man. See his autobiographical play, Vue Carré, at Raven Theater in Edgewater. Join Raven for Out at Raven with free wine and cheese reception before the Friday, May 16th performance. For tickets to Vue Carré, visit raventheater.com.
Do not miss Porchlight Music Theater, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, at Stage 773. The Chicago Tribune raves Porchlight overachieves in How to Succeed. And the Sun-Times highly recommended review says it's a rip-roaring revival of the show. Great, goofy fun. For tickets to How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, go to porchlightmusictheater.org.
Check out Dorian from the House Theater of Chicago. It's new, it's sexy, it's queer, and it's only here through May 18th. Oscar Wilde's story is transformed into a totally modern dance-fueled production. Get more information at housetheater.com.
Hit the Wall. The smash hit is playing now at the Greenhouse Theater. In this recount of the 1969 Stonewall Riots, meet 10 unlikely revolutionaries who jumpstart the modern gay rights movement. Don't miss the show that the Chicago Tribune says feels like a scene, a party, a kind of interactive historical happening with a punch. Buy tickets at greenhousetheater.org.
Five Lesbians Eating a Quiche, the hilarious cult hit comedy, asks all attendees of its 1956 church basement quiche breakfast to always represent the egg. Don't miss the play that won Best Overall Production at the New York International Fringe Festival, playing at the Chopin Theater. Buy tickets at fivelesbianseatingaquiche.com.
Route 66 Theater Company transports you to a rural Mississippi in the Jeff-nominated, highly recommended world premiere, Cicada, by openly gay playwright Jerry Dye. Authentic, says the Tribune. Don't miss Cicada. Poignant, relevant, and stirring, says Windy City Times. Cicada is playing now at the Greenhouse Theater Center through May 25th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hi there, this is Deb Pierce reminding you it's okay. Go ahead. You're not alone. Post a comment.
Yeah, these are old shoes that I've been walking in. I'm wearing weary like it's a second skin.
Of May, and we're heading into summer, and you want to be out of doors and walking down the street, and walking on sidewalks, feeling like you are leaving winter in the cold far, far, far in the distance. And during that time, I know for me, my eyes are seeing new things, and I see people's yards, and I see people with dogs, and I window shop, and I get lots of ideas, and I get excited. And one of the things that I think this time of year is great for is thinking about buying a home, thinking about where you live and what kind of neighborhood you'd want to live in and where you might want to put down some roots and grow your life. And buying a home can feel like an exciting but overwhelming proposition. And what do you really need to know when you are buying a home, especially if you're a first-time home buyer? As LGBT people, are there unique things that we're looking for when investing in this big life-changing purchase? So I'm really glad to have Todd Swikowski here with me. He's the president of the Dreamtown Realty LGBT Client Services Division. He's a top producing realtor for the past decade plus. And so I'm really glad to be talking with somebody who's a member of the family and also could just talk to us about the basics and then some of the unique aspects for us as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people and what we want to have in this experience of buying a home. Hey, Todd, thanks for being on with me.
Thanks so much for having me, Amy.
So this is really kind of the season, right? I mean, it's kind of the rental season. It's when the home buying season, the springtime, spring and fall are when things really kind of pop in and become alive. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your, I'm sure, busy schedule to talk with us. What are the top five things? I'm picking a random number, but that's a good handful. Top five things people should consider when buying a home, no matter who you are.
No matter who you are in general, the top five things.
Yeah.
The first, I would say the very first foremost important thing that people need to consider is whether or not it's the right time for them. And the way that that's going to be determined is by talking to a broker and talking to a lender and making sure that you've got everything in place that you need in terms of a down payment, in terms of your future plans for your life. You want to make sure you're going to be somewhere. I always tell buyers in this market, you want to make sure you can, you know, comfortably know you're going to put your roots down for at least 4 years or so.
Okay.
This isn't the market of 2003 where you could, you know, reasonably think you're going to buy a house, turn around and flip it 6 months later and, you know, fund your retirement.
Yeah.
it's different. So that's first and foremost. You know, your real estate broker is really going to be the best person to help you answer all of those questions. So that would definitely be number one. Obviously, your location. Where exactly you want to be, you need to have a real clear understanding. And there's a lot of things that are obviously going to determine the best location for you, whether it's your commute or access to public transportation, access to things that affect your social life, whatever that is. And again, your broker is going to be able to help you answer those questions. And your price point, you know, is critical, obviously. Your price point is going to be sort of, that's going to determine more than anything, you know, where you can be shopping. So I would say those are probably the three most important things that you need to do before you do anything with respect to searching for a home.
And when you speak of time, you kind of spoke of time and having your affairs in order, so to speak, right? Is there times in people's lives when it's a bad time or a good time to think about purchasing a home, less about money, but just time and life? Or can you never be too young, too old? Or
I don't think that there's no clear cut rule across every single person that to say this is going to be a good time for anybody to buy or a poor time for anybody to buy.
Mm-hmm.
It's really going to come down to that person's specific circumstances and what their goals are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a way of trying to talk around that question, but it's really the most honest answer I can give you.
Yeah.
Because everybody's circumstances are certainly different.
Right. Well, and you've been doing this for 12, 13 years, or you were a top producer for the past 12 or 13 years. You may have been doing it longer than that. Obviously, you've seen the market change. What kind of market are we in right now? You said, hey, well, it's not 2003 or 2004 or 2005, back when we thought we could buy a property double what we made in a year or two and leave, you know? What kind of market are we in now for people who understand
the best way that I described it, the best way that I described this market to both my buyers and my sellers is that we're definitely in a transitional market. We're in a healing market.
Uh-huh.
Our trajectory is definitely moving in the right direction, mm-hmm. but we're seeing some interesting things. Values on homes are coming back up. March, you know, was a really great month. It's definitely supporting the feeling that we all have who work this industry day by day.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's a time when there's not a lot of inventory out there because mm-hmm. while values are coming back up, people are, I think, considering selling. Some of them are thinking, well, maybe I'm going to wait another 3 months or I'm going to wait another 6 months. Maybe my value will come up even more.
Mm-hmm.
What that results in is we've got this huge pool of qualified buyers in the market. Mortgage rates are incredibly competitive. The rates today I saw dropped to 4 1/8 on a 30-year fixed mortgage,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, phenomenally competitive,
mm-hmm.
Close to historic lows,
mm-hmm.
but there's not a lot of inventory. So mm-hmm. when something good comes on the market and we've got a lot of great inventory in the city, it's gone. I mean, mm-hmm. property is moving really, really quickly.
So
really
it's a buyer market then is what you're saying? It is. Well, I guess that would be a seller market, right?
It's more of a seller's market. Oddly, it's more of a seller's market. But see, it's not a seller's market like we talked about in 2003.
Right.
When you could put a shack up and, you know, you'd get unbelievable amount of money for it and it would sell quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a seller's market because there's just not a lot of inventory.
Mm-hmm. So what saying in the generals, how is Chicago as a market right now when we look domestically in the U.S.? I mean, how do we fare in Chicago and how are if you can speak to the outside the city, the suburbs, how are we kind of in relationship to how other major cities are doing right now in this healing process that you were talking about?
Yeah, I would answer that question by sort of looking at a span of time, say over the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
There were some markets where when things started to turn, it was like a cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
The markets just fell. You had just unbelievable amounts of foreclosures, people walking away from properties, you know, median prices for properties dropping to $40,000 or $50,000 like happened in areas like around Las Vegas and around Phoenix and that, mm-hmm. and that general area. Chicago, I think, largely because we have what I understand to be the most economically diverse economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've read many times, which speaks to this, I think. We didn't see the cliffs. We saw a pretty steady, consistent decline in values. I mean, some neighborhoods got hit a little bit harder and a little bit more quickly,
mm-hmm.
but it was a more sort of steady decline in mm-hmm. our values and more of a steady sort of gradual decline overall in our market.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing now is we didn't hit as hard of a floor and as low of a floor as some other markets, but relative to other markets around the country. But we're also now making that very slow,
mm-hmm.
Thoughtful, coming back to where we should be, so
right.
to speak. You know, our numbers are, we're not going to skyrocket right back up, but we didn't crash when it all happened either as
yes.
hard as a lot of other markets did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of, when you're speaking of that, I think, well, you know, Chicago is kind of one of those less dramatic cities somehow. Somehow maybe it's because we're in the center of the United States, you know, but
yeah,
we seem to be
yeah.
on the seesaw of cities. We tend to be kind of that centrist, you know, town. And that
right. and
may make it
absolutely.
Less, you know, exciting that maybe people say, oh, everything's not coming back so quickly, but it's also because we didn't fall so far.
Yeah, we didn't fall as far and we didn't fall as hard. And I do think it had, and listen, I'm not an economist and I don't play one on TV or anything
right.
like that, but from my basic understanding, you know, we do have such a broad range of industries
mm-hmm.
in the city and in the Chicago metro area, the greater metro area.
Right.
We have this incredibly broad base of industries. So
mm-hmm.
when the economy starts to shift, certain industries take a harder hit. Well, if certain industries are the bulk of your local economy, that's going to affect so many things like real estate, you know, much more dramatically. Whereas here, I think, you know, our owners are, you know, spread across a much broader range of industries, therefore
mm-hmm.
smaller percentages of people whose industries were really affected were hit as hard.
Right.
And again, I'm not an economist, but it stands to reason and it does make some sense to me.
Yeah, well, and you've also walked it and lived through it every day. So you've got some mileage in that shoes of dealing with just the realities, whether you're an economist or not. Talk to me about things that are uniquely impactful to us as LGBT people when purchasing a home that you see.
Well, I would answer that with a couple different things. I think on the very sort of personal level, what I hear from people all the time, and I say this for myself, I think that people, when making what is likely their largest investment, mm-hmm. certainly probably one of their most personal and important decisions that they're making in their lives,
mm-hmm.
it's good on a very personal level to work with people who get you, mm-hmm. people who understand. It's not just about, we're not buying a widget, you're making a decision that's about your life and it's about your lifestyle.
Yep.
Having a relationship with somebody like a broker and with a lender and maybe an attorney who are all going to be involved in your, let's say it's a purchase, they're all going to be involved in your purchase process. Having those people around you who understand more about you than I want to spend $450,000 and I have 20% to put down.
Right.
Is important. And the analogy that I use as, I'm a proud gay man myself, on, we're not doctors, but it's important to me to have a doctor who's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's important to me that I don't have to explain everything and my doctor is going to understand certain things about me.
Yep.
In the same way that maybe somebody who's not an LGBT person, the rest of the world can just make assumptions about them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So aligning yourself and having people who just understand you at sort of a basic, very personal level is important.
Yep.
That's number one. Number two, laws are changing, with marriage equality taking firm hold here in Chicago or here in the state and, already in Cook County and I think 15 or 16 other counties.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly by June, the entire state, laws are changing and important things are changing, like how married same-sex couples can take title to property,
mm-hmm.
Their lending process, how it is that they're going to go about and secure financing for that purchase is changing. And what's really happening is it's changing in such a way that it's like the rest of the straight world.
Mm-hmm.
But those represent some really significant changes that are really changing the process for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, Amy, we've discovered throughout, all this, there's all this excitement, right, with the laws changing. There's also a lot of new confusion that's resulted as well, which is one of the reasons that we're working on the initiative that we're working on is to try to become the resource to really be the go-to resource for people in the community to mm-hmm. get those questions answered.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, also there are the unique things that even with marriage equality coming to Cook County and by June it will be, statewide.
Right.
But there are a lot of people who are not going to choose to get married. So what are the unique things to consider if you're buying with a partner whom you're not legally married to? Because that's what we've been doing for decades and decades, and that may continue,
right.
For many people or for people listening to this podcast who don't live in a state where they can be legally married or, they're still, their marriages are not recognized.
Right. I think for the people who maybe are, choosing to maybe co-purchase with somebody, but they're not choosing to be married, they're still going to be able to make those acquisitions in the same way that we've been doing it all along because we weren't allowed to get married.
Mm-hmm.
So that all will remain the same. The big changes are really, I think, for the people who are deciding that they do want to legally marry and in this whole different set of rights and responsibilities with respect to real estate that's opening up to them. That's really, I would say, that's where the big change is. We are seeing people, though, who have been married in other states, say like California, and they're moving, say, to Illinois, and the transitions that they're having to go through now as well. We're just, we're starting to talk to people like that. We had somebody on a panel at one of our recent events who went through this process as well, and it's interesting. I mean, we're all learning so much about, all these changes. It's your income tax. It's affecting everything that we never in our community really had a reason to consider before.
Yeah. I used to say I've been on the radio a long time. It makes me feel very old when I think back. But I remember back in 1997 and 98 when I was doing Les by Gay Radio saying, I don't care. I don't care if people say it's about morality. I don't care if people say it's about X, Y, or Z. It's always about money. It will always be about money. And so now it's becoming confusing for people around money, you know, because a lot of what's happening state and federally and taxes and Social Security. And it's, you know, us being treated like everybody else is going to impact a lot.
Absolutely. So, that's a great point. Something's come full circle.
They sure do. Yeah. So this may be a very obvious question to which you are going to say, of course you do. But do you need a realtor? And if so, I'm giving you the platform to say why for people who think, hey, I can go see this home. I like it. I understand a little bit about money. I'll do a quick, easy sale, like buyer to buyer. Like, do you need a realtor? Why and when?
Yes, you need a realtor, 100% of the time. And, you know, there's a lot of research behind it that explains why. Let's say that you're a buyer. Most transactions, you know, if you're a buyer and you're not currently represented, you have access to pretty much all the listings that are in the MLS through countless different consumer-facing websites, right? But when you click on a certain property, that's on that website because the seller is being represented by a broker. That's how it ended up on that website, because it's being syndicated from our MLS, from our various MLSs. So, you know, for you to go in and try to represent yourself, you're representing yourself. The buyer has, or the, excuse me, the seller's broker has a fiduciary responsibility to that seller, and they're going to be negotiating on behalf of that seller. They're, regardless of how smart an individual is, if you don't do real estate every day, if you're not tracking what's happening on our market day to day, you're not going to be able to effectively or as effectively negotiate, you know, on your own behalf. There's from a seller's perspective, and I don't have the exact number right in front of me, but from a seller's perspective, recent research from the National Association of Realtors has shown empirically that sellers who represent themselves are typically netting 12% less on their sales on average than those who are represented by a broker. So when you take into consideration the fact that the seller's paying 6 or 7% in total commission, likely, I mean, it's everybody negotiates, you know, differently, their commissions, but somewhere in that range, you're still way ahead by being represented by a broker.
So talk to me about what is going on at Dreamtown. Your company has determined that this is a target for you, LGBT clients and customers. And so what has been kind of the process to build kind of this dream town? Because so many companies have these, right? I mean, many of our sponsors, I mean, American Airlines was one of the first, who have their LGBT division or even just a place for their LGBT employees to share ideas. But you all are kind of taking it a step further as opposed to it being just an internal group. So talk to me about that.
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point that you just brought up. You talk about all of these different industries and different companies, big multinational companies and big national companies like American Airlines that have internal groups and maybe are marketing directly to the LGBT community. When we started talking about this, the whole reason, the whole purpose we even started having the conversation was, you know, news of the law that was going to be changing initially. You know, in June, of course, that got bumped up back on, I think, February 21st. All of a sudden, there was this dramatic federal court ruling on the 21st, I believe, of February, that the official start date for, you know, legal same-sex marriage for in Cook County was going to be moved up a full 3 months from, you know, the planned June date. So that's really why we started talking about this when the law first, you know, we knew it was going to go into effect in June. When we started talking about it, we started doing some research, and unlike all of these other industries where you have groups marketing directly to the community and you have all these internal work groups that are LGBT focused, we discovered that there's not one other brokerage in the country who's done this, not other real estate brokerage. We're the first in the nation. And we were, you know, that was further sort of proven to us. There was an article written about us last month in the Tribune, and the journalist in that article had reached out to brokers, a broker with Vanguard based in San Francisco, who even this broker in San Francisco said, you know, this whole idea of having, you know, a network of people who really understand the issues and who are trying to, I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, really understand the issues and are working directly within the community, that would even be news here in San Francisco. You know, mm-hmm. there are individual brokers who might target or market to the community, but as at the brokerage level, nobody had done it yet. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, that gave us a moment of pause. You know, we started to think, well, why not? We can't be the first. Mm-hmm. You know, is it possible that we're the first? So, of course, we talked to a lot of lawyers and stuff to make sure that there was nothing wrong with what we were thinking about doing, and we're assured ultimately that, no, it's a great thing to be doing, and there is nothing wrong with it. Mm-hmm. But in our industry, we're the first. It hasn't been done yet, which is, to me, both crazy and very exciting to be part of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so what are the goals? I mean, this is, you've identified LGBT people who are realtors with Dreamtown and called them together, or how is it working?
Yeah, we have a group of brokers, all top producing brokers, most of whom identify as LGBT. We do have a couple LGBT ally brokers, mm-hmm. In the group as well. Our overarching goal, okay, listen, first, you know, obviously there's a business decision behind this. This, you know, the LGBT community is a huge segment of our market. There's great spending potential in mm-hmm. our community. So let's call a spade. Obviously, there's a lot of really wonderful reasons we're doing this. Right. One of those wonderful reasons also has to do with business. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, our real overarching goal is to truly, I think, as I was mentioning before, become sort of the subject matter experts, the one-stop resource for, you know, any question that somebody, any member of the community might have relative to purchasing or selling real estate. That's number one. Within that, we've basically developed a wonderful online resource, which has specialized content for LGBT buyers and sellers, with lots of relevant links to credible, really credible third-party sources at the state and federal level and local levels, you know, links to information from HUD or from the IRS, things along those lines. There's obviously no cost to that. That's anybody can find our page and access a myriad of just a really broad range of information. So that's mm-hmm. number one. Obviously, we have this great team of consultants we've put together to really be able to address our LGBT buyer and seller's needs. And then the third component is developing and hosting and producing informational events and different community outreach opportunities throughout the year, mm-hmm. Which I'd love to be able to talk to you about later on when the time is right, because we've just finished a really exciting one and we've got another one planned for next month. So again, that's just an opportunity to really get out there and spread the word, and that's the fun part for me, really. I mean, obviously selling houses is a fun part for me as well, but it's fun to be able to engage with the community at that level.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's really, really nice to be able to have people come and you know, talk with other LGBT people, which is what we're trying to do, about what they know and their knowledge and neighborhoods and what their experience has been, and talk with realtors and find somebody, you know, that they connect with and find somebody right. that they want to go through this journey with. Cause it, you know, right. it can be very quick and frantic and fast and a lot, or it can be longer and slower and, you know, more patience is needed and all of that is important to be with the right person taking you along that journey.
Absolutely.
So, how do people, you know, where would people get in touch with you or get in touch with Dreamtown and get in touch with, your services that are, your new services that are really working to help the LGBT consumer?
Yeah, the first stop for somebody would be to go to our website, which is dreamtown.com/LGBT. That's where you're going to find, everything. Really, everything we have to offer, lists of our upcoming events, video of past events, which we're starting to launch as well, access to profiles of the different brokers who are members of the group, mm-hmm. Just countless, you know, FAQs, questions and answers that include videos as well. So that's definitely the best place to start. It's really easy to sign up to receive information as new information is made available. We're posting it on the site, and then we'll be blasting that out to those that, you know, would like information just to hit their inbox.
Right.
That's real easy to do. And there's no cost, obviously, associated with any of that. We don't share our information that people share with us. You give us your email address. It's for us to communicate with you directly. We're not selling any information or anything like that.
And what about in other communities? What do you encourage people who don't live in Illinois, don't live in Chicago? What should they be looking for in working with a realtor as LGBT people? I mean, how would you go about it if or tell, a relative or friend in Florida or some other state, how to go about what they should look for? What are the top things they should look for?
Well, I think the first thing they have to figure out is how do they identify somebody, who works in the community and who's going to understand what their needs are.
Right.
In a lot of different markets, without having, say, like dreamtown.com/LGBT, you're probably going to want to go to other sources, other publications where maybe people are marketing themselves to the community directly.
Yep.
And in my world, in our world of real estate, the most important part of our business are personal referrals. You have to start with people you know and find out who they've worked with and who's good.
Yep.
And I think that holds, especially true for members of our community.
Yeah.
And I think you just, you want to make sure that the person that you're going to have, you're going to be sharing a lot of personal information with this person, and they're going to be helping you make some really, really big decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have the background on that person, and it's best to know that it's somebody who understands who you are and who probably has worked with some people you know and trust.
And are there national accreditations you can look for too? Because obviously I would tell people, to go to your LGBT papers or websites, local mm-hmm. resources, community centers, and look for places like Todd said, who might have gay and lesbian realtors who want your business and are trying to get the word out. But are there national accreditations or things you can look for, or years of experience, or are keywords, that those realtors should have that kind of make you feel calm,
right,
assured?
Yeah, there's not a national accreditation, at least that I'm familiar with.
Okay.
There are some sites that are more like subscription sites, directories that you can access and search various markets. So you can mm-hmm. be in Chicago and I'm moving to Miami and I want to find maybe an LGBT broker. So those are individual brokers
mm-hmm.
who are, it's a membership and they're putting their profile up there and they're able to say, how long they've been working, what markets they really specialize in. And those are LGBT networks.
Yeah.
I've not personally ever used one of those, but that would be sort of the next generation of finding a publication.
Yeah. Right.
That kind of stuff is happening. We're hoping, honestly, that other brokerages in various markets around the country start doing what we're doing here in Chicago.
Yeah.
We're not competitive with, we're non-competitive. Real estate is by state, really.
Yep.
So, there's no issue like that for us. It would be really, we see it as a really wonderful thing if we can set some sort of an example that, other brokerages in various markets around the country start to follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Todd Swakowski, I appreciate you being on with me and just kind of doing the 411 and also getting a little more specific for those of us in the LGBT community and what we should consider. And for those of you in Illinois, definitely I know with Windy City Times and our calendar listings, and also Dreamtown is getting the word out about these events so that you can come and have a personal one-on-one experience. But I also think Todd has given great tips for those of you who don't live in Chicago or in Illinois and are just fans of the Queercast, and for you to look and explore in your own communities of finding a broker or realtor that works for you, and that you can be really transparent in this major purchase and feel really the person knows you and is helping you find the home that fits for you and your future. So Todd, thanks so much for being on with us. We will have.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. We'll have the Dreamtown linked in our show notes. So if you want to go to our show notes, you can click right there and go on and find out everything about what they're doing with their new LGBT client service division. And we'll be back after this.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everyone, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. My brother's in town. I'm so super excited that he's coming to town and other friends are coming to town to see my show. So I hope you'll come out and see Cicada as well at the Greenhouse Theater, cicadatheplay.com. And also, I hope you'll just get out and be in the middle of the big gayness of the world, you know, and stroll. See, there are for sale signs, and or maybe you want to get your home prepped to move to Chicago or move to some other fabulous city. So 'tis the time. We're all feeling like everything's possible, right? Just because it's like, do you remember, folks, when it was minus 20 something, those of you in Chicago? I mean, it feels like a distant memory. And let's just leave it way, way there in the frickin' past, because we have beautiful Chicago summer ahead of us. And I hope many of you who listen who are not in Chicago will plan on coming here for Gay Pride, because it's the best. There's nothing better than June, July, and August in Chicago, in the world, I swear. So big thank you to Todd Swiekowski. Check out our website and link through there. And everyone else, I hope you have a great week. Mitchell Fain's back. I hope on the next show. We'll see. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.